I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 25, and I encourage you to get a Bible and look in the Word of God as we try to read and study from Matthew chapter 25. And before we begin to read from the Word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God. We're thankful that we know that we're weak and frail creatures and we need you every moment of our lives. We know that we can't draw the next breath without thy blessings upon us. And we know that all of our efforts and labors to try to worship you are in vain without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would fill us all with the Spirit of God, that we might be able to lift up our voices, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You bless us to be able to pray, to commune with thee as friend with friend. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless all those that stand in special need of thy help. We thank you for some good reports during this past week. We praise your name for that. Pray that you would continue to bless during this coming week. Especially, we pray that you would bless Brother James to get a good report Friday. Pray that you would bless the test and all the other things that are done, that he would soon be completely restored to his health. And we pray that you would bless Sister Michelle Street and all the others that are sick and afflicted. And bless Sister Jane Bacon. Help her. Bless the doctors as they administer unto her needs. Bless all the others, Lord. There are so many that are on our hearts and minds. There are unspoken prayer requests. There are those that have great burdens and great problems and great troubles. And without you, that they cannot make it. And we pray that you would help us all, that we might ever be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That we lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. We beg thy blessings upon each family that's here today. We thank you for every person that's here. Thank you, Lord, for every family that's represented. We thank you for those who are here from the nursing home and those that work so diligently to bring them each Lord's Day. Pray that you would bless them and bless their lives and their families. Bless those that travel great distances and bless them to have safe trips each time. Pray that you would bless each of us locally, that we would realize again what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Bless us now. Teach us and instruct us from thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from Matthew chapter 25. There are three categories of people that are on my heart this morning. One are called in the Scriptures, they're called the least, L-E-A-S-T, the least. The Bible talks a lot about those that fall into the category that men typically call the least. And then there are those that the Bible refers to as being lost, L-O-S-T. There are many children of God that would be in that category of being lost. And then the Word of God talks about those that are last. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Many other scriptures. So we want to try to look this morning at the different categories that are found in the Word of God about the least, and then about primarily about the lost, and then, Lord willing, look at those that are called the last. We'll begin by looking at Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31, the Word of God says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I would remind you that there is not a period at the end of that verse. And the verse 34 says, after He says, "Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's a colon there, and then he lists the reasons that they are going to enter into this kingdom. He says, because I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You notice in verse 40 that Jesus says, Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the, what's the next word there? One of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, first of all, let me tell you that God does not consider some of his children as important and some of his children as not being important. When Jesus says here that the people that are under consideration, that they have been helping those in the categories that he mentions, he says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least, he's not talking about they are least in the sight of God, but rather that they are least as far as men are concerned. You and I, if we will be honest, we do make a difference in the way we look at people. There are some people that you and I would consider hardly worthy of helping. There are some people that you and I spend very little time trying to help. And there are other people that we would certainly esteem and we would do everything we can to help them. But then there are those that are the outcast and those that are very unimportant as far as men are concerned. That's the kind of people that Jesus says that these people, that he said, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. He's talking about these people that were on his right hand, that were able to enter the kingdom. He says, the reason that you're entering this kingdom is because you have been helping those that are considered the least in the sight of other men. Brethren, we need to pray that God will help us to remember that those that might be considered of no value by other people, and they may be considered of very little value to others, that they're precious in the sight of God. You remember that in the parable of the Good Samaritan, or the story of the Good Samaritan, you remember that Jesus said that there was a man that had been up to Jerusalem, and he was on his way back down to Jericho, and on his way back, he fell among thieves, and they beat him half to death. And that man was laying in the ditch there, and as he lay in the ditch half dead, the Word of God says that there was a priest that came by, and the Scripture specifically spells out and says, and he saw the man laying in the ditch. And what did the priest do when he saw the man laying in the ditch? He passed by on the other side. He got far away from him. And then the Word of God says, and there was a Levite that passed by, and he also, the Bible says, that he saw that man, and he also passed by on the other side. He got as far away from him as he could get and still stay on the road. Listen, brethren, there have been a few times in my life that I have treated people the same way. There have been some times in my life that I have passed by on the other side. God taught me this very early when I, in my Christian life, that when I went into the nursing home sometimes, I found out that there were some people, if you got close to them, they would grab hold of you and they would hold on to you. Did you know that happens in the nursing home sometimes? They'll grab you. If you visit very much in the nursing home, Sister Valerie, you work in the nursing home, aren't there people that'll grab you? Why do you think they grab you? Yes, you're comforting. Let me tell you something, brethren. You and I need physical contact. And there are some people that are starving to death for somebody to just hold their hand and hug their neck. Not long after I found myself, if I went to the nursing home, I had several people I wanted to visit, and I would go down the hall, and there would be, in one of the nursing homes I visited, there would be people, they always sat them in this nursing home, they always sat them right outside their door. And so all the way down the hall, there were people sitting outside the door, and I would be going down to the hall to see somebody at the end of the hall. I'd go to see Brother Buck, and I'd go see Sister Mary and Sister Susie and the ones I wanted to visit. And going down the hall to visit with Brother Buck, there would be people that would reach out for me trying to get my hand. And when I first started visiting, I would stop, but I found out some of them would grab hold and wouldn't let go. And so you know what I started doing? I started doing just like that priest and that Levite. I started passing by on the other side because I didn't have time for them to latch hold and hold on. I didn't think I had time. And then I got very sick and I was in the hospital for 3 weeks and I was in a coma most all of that time. And when I came to, when I finally woke up from that coma, do you know what the first thing is I did? There was a nurse standing to the right of my bed, and I reached over there and got her by the hair of the head, and I pulled her down, and I held on to her. And she started screaming, "Elder Mullis, Elder Mullis, don't do that." And she started trying to pinch my wrist and get me to let go. And I said, "I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to hold you." And do you know what I was feeling all the time? Do you know what God kept putting back in my mind as I was holding on to that nurse? All those people that I'd passed by on the other side. God put me in the same position where I was starving to death. Not for something immoral or ungodly. I just needed to hold somebody. And you, if you have to go very long without anybody caring enough to shake your hand or hold you or hug your neck, you'll soon find out there's a reason that people are like that. They're starving. God has put it in us that we need to be held. We need to hold somebody's hand. We need to have somebody hug us. For those of you that are here from the nursing home, how many of you would like to be hugged by people? Hold up your hand if you would like to be hugged. All right, most every one of these have held up their hands that they want to be hugged. Do you know why they want to be hugged? Listen, brethren, they're children of God for one thing. They love people, but there's something in them they need to be hugged. And the sad thing is that we don't even know the names of the people. They come Sunday after Sunday, they put forth more effort than anybody else here to get to the house of God, and we don't care enough to even find out what their names are, and we don't have time to shake their hand, and we don't have time to hug their neck. I'm telling you, you're going to be on the left hand instead of the right hand of Jesus. The ones that are on the right hand are not people that were drunkards and adulterers. The people that are on the right hand are those that cared enough to do something for those that were considered the what? The least. And those on the left hand, those that were cast out, those that did not enter into the kingdom, what had they done that was so terrible? Had they gotten drunk? Had they committed adultery? What had they done that was so terrible? They passed by on the other side. That's what Jesus comes on down in Matthew 25 and says, "I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was in prison, and you came not unto me. I was sick, and ye visited me not." You ignored the least. And when you ignore the least, you need to understand you'll be shut out of the kingdom of heaven. God will shut you out of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm not going to
to stand here this morning and spend a lot of time dwelling on what the kingdom of heaven is, I just want you to know God will shut you out of the kingdom of heaven. You cannot ignore the least and experience intimate fellowship with God in the kingdom of heaven. The least are important to God. And my question to you is, and to me is, the question is, are the least important to you? I know there are some people that are important to every one of you. I know there are people that are very important to you. I know that you have family members that are very important, and you have other people that are very important. But my question is, are the least ones important to you? Because if the least are not important to you, then your life is not satisfactory to God. God is not pleased with our lives if the least are not important to us. They better be important. You better re-examine your life. You better re-examine the time you're spending with people. I better begin to realize that there are things more important than the things we're chasing, and the things and people that we're neglecting, the least ones we're neglecting, they're important to God, and they better be important to us. We need to reprioritize our lives. If the least are not important to you, you need to stop everything else and sit down and say, God, forgive me for ignoring those that are the least. Because they're important to God. And they're important to God's people that are doing what pleases the Lord. You remember, not only did the priest and the Levite come by, and then there was another man that came by, that man that was down in the ditch. You ever seen anybody in the ditch? You ever passed by on the other side when you saw somebody in the ditch? Sometimes we pass by on the other side. I remember one time when I was a boy, about 12 or 13 years old, we were on our way home from church. And Dad pastored a country church. We were going down dirt roads. We always went home with somebody every Sunday for dinner, by the way. Just put that hint out there. That's the way it used to be. But every Sunday we went home with somebody for dinner. And as we were going to this person's house for dinner, and it was pouring down rain, and we were on this red clay hills of Upson County, going up a hill, and the car was just slipping and sliding, I looked over there and I saw a man in the ditch. I said, Daddy, stop, there's a man in the ditch over there. And he stopped the car on that slick hill, and he got out in that pouring rain, and he picked up that man. He was drunk. He was just as drunk as he could be, passed out. And Daddy picked up that man, got his suit filthy, dirty with that red clay, and set him down in the car and carried him to those people's home. And Daddy worked with that man for quite a while, not just that day, but for a long time. Daddy kept working with him, trying to help him, trying to not just get him out of that one ditch, but trying to keep him from going back to the ditch again. Listen, brethren, you and I know there are a lot of people out there that are in the ditch. And this Good Samaritan came along and he saw the man in the ditch. And Jesus says that he just stopped everything else. No matter where that man was going, everything else became second on his list. His number one goal was to help the least. And he stopped and he bound up his wounds, and he poured in oil and wine, and he put the man up on his donkey, and he took the man to an inn, and he worked with him, and he cared for him, and he labored with him. And the next day, the scripture says the next day, so this man labored with him all night, and the next day he paid the innkeeper everything else he had left. He says, you take care of this man. And when I come back, I'll give you whatever else I owe you. Why did the man do that? He did it because he cared about the least. How long has it been since you've helped the least? How long has it been since you got down in the ditch with somebody that was down in the ditch and was so sorry and so rotten that as far as everybody else was concerned, they didn't need They didn't deserve, let me rephrase that, they didn't deserve any help. They got in that ditch because they put themselves in the ditch. You need to get down in the ditch and help somebody, brethren. There's some of God's children down in the ditch. There's some of God's children that are, they're the least. And as far as everybody else in society is concerned, they might not be worth 10 cents, but they're precious. If they're a child of God, they're precious in the sight of the Lord. And if you're a child of God, you better start treating them like they're children of God. And you better love them and labor with them. I know there's a limit to what you can do. I understand all that. But sometimes we back up and we don't do anything. We don't try to do anything to help people. Doesn't matter whether it's people in the nursing home, people that are sick, people that are poor. You see, Jesus listed a lot of categories here in Matthew 25, didn't he? He gave all kinds of examples. Look again. He says in Matthew 25, verse 35, I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was hungry. You gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger. I was a stranger. A stranger. What do you do to strangers typically? What do you do with them?
Ignore them, pass them by.
That's right. Ignore them, pass them by on the other side. I picked up two men this week hitchhiking. And they got in the car and they said, we didn't think anybody would pick us up. And I said, well, there's two things going for you. I said, I've got a 45 right beside me. And the second thing is, I've got the Lord in my car. Now, it's all right. It's okay to carry a gun. I want them to understand if they wanted to fight that they wasn't going to be fighting with my fist. But I wanted them to know the Lord was in the car. And we started talking and, listen, brethren, there are some people that you can try to help, and you can try and try and try, and you can do everything you want to, and you'll never help them. But if you don't try, if you hadn't ever tried to help anybody that you come across, if you hadn't tried to help them, God's going to hold you accountable for everyone that you didn't even try to help. Now, if you tried to help them, and you did everything you could, and you had to eventually say, I tried, I did all I could do. And they keep choosing. There's a difference in being beaten and left in the ditch and you jumping in that ditch all the time. And so when a person keeps jumping in the ditch, eventually they're going to have to lay in the ditch. You understand what I'm saying? People make all kinds of mistakes, and we need to try to help them when they make those mistakes. Go with me now to, well, let's just think for a minute about the least. Can you name anybody in the Bible? Can you think of anybody, any individual in the Bible that as far as men looking at them, they thought they were little, they were the least? Well, let me just name two or three first. You know, David, King David, rose to be the greatest man in the world at that time. But how did he start out? How did he start out? Okay, he was just the least, wasn't he? A shepherd boy. That little shepherd boy, that least. You remember whenever Samuel came to Jesse and said, God's chosen one of your sons to be the king of Israel. Bring your sons before me. You remember how he brought one after another? Oh, look at this one. This is it. This is the one right here. Samuel says, no, that's not him. Well, then this has to be him. And they went right down the line. I believe it was 8 or 9 sons until finally they said, well, that's all. And he said, you don't have any more sons? Oh, yes, we have one more. The least one, the youngest one. We have a little shepherd boy down there. But certainly that's not the one you want. And Samuel said, bring him here. And they brought David up there, a young shepherd boy. And Samuel said, this is the one that God has chosen. Who did God choose?
The least.
The least. You think about all the nations in the world. And yet God chose the least of the nations. That little nation of Israel was the least of the nations. You take a map of the world, you look at Israel, look how small it is. Why in the world did God choose the least of the nations? You think about the city where Jesus was born. And they talked about all the different places it could be. But you know what the Bible says? That God chose the least of the cities. Bethlehem, Judah, the least one. Least people are important to God. Little people are important to God. I say little people. I mentioned the elderly. I'll tell you some more little people that are important to God, and that's these little children. Did you know they're important to God? Little Malachi and Walker and Emily and all these little children in the church. Did you know little children are important to God? Little children are important to God. You better not neglect them. You better love them. You better hug them. You better do what you can to help little children. The least are important to God. Do you remember whenever they began to bring some children to Jesus? Do you remember what his apostle said? Get those children away from here. Get them out. There are churches that treat children like that. They don't want anything to do with the children. They'll just let the children be outside, stay outside. They're little. They're not important. They're insignificant. I'll tell you, they're important to God. Every one of these children are important to God. And I'll back up not just these that are sitting in the pews, but little babies that are unborn. They're important to God. They're little. They may be the least of all the human beings in size, but they're important to God. And every one of them, every child in that mother's womb, every one of them is important to God. They may be the least as far as men are concerned. And our present president has just signed an order that allows American money to pay for the killing of children in other countries with your tax dollars and mine. I'll tell you, it's an abomination in the sight of God. The murder of unborn children is worse than what Hitler did. It's worse than anything that's ever been done in this world. The least are despised by men. But they're not unimportant to God. They're very important to God. The least. Little armies. Have there ever been little armies that were... Well, take David. David, you know, we started out with him being the king. Chose the least one of Jesse's sons. What about David when he went against Goliath? Do you remember what Goliath said when he looked out and saw that little shepherd boy coming after him and all he had was a sling and five smooth stones? Do you remember what the scripture says in 1 Samuel 17:42 that Goliath said? The Bible says that he disdained David. It says, "You're nothing but a youth." Now that word disdained means that he ridiculed him. He made fun of him. He was nothing but a little young lad. Did that giant, did he have any respect for the least? What did he find out? That the least, under the power and the blessings of God, can bring a giant to his knees. What about that least army of Gideon? Were there many in Gideon's army that went against the Philistines? No, they started out to be 32,000 and they were scared because the Philistine army was so big. And then God says, "There's too many." And so he cut it down and got it down to 10,000 and said, "There's still too many." And so he cut it down to 300. Now, if you had been Gideon, you know how Gideon felt right then? He felt like he was too little to face the task. And when he felt like he was too little to face the task, he also began to realize God was bigger than every army out there. And so Gideon took his 300 men, went out, and defeated the Philistines. You remember Jonathan and his armor bearer? Jonathan and his armor bearer went out, 1 Samuel chapter 14, went out and made the whole Philistine army run away. All these are just a few examples of little, least ones that in the eyes of men, they're disdained. They're considered unimportant, but in the eyes of God, they're very important. Some of you little children, help me out here. What was the man's name, the least little man that wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't see Jesus because there were so many other people that were taller than that little man? What was that little man's name that wanted to see Jesus and he had to climb up a sycamore tree, Sister Emily?
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus, that's it. Zacchaeus. Little bitty man, wasn't he? People just thought there was nothing to him, didn't they? Now listen carefully. Listen, this is pretty now. You pay attention. He was that little bitty man, and he climbed up in that sycamore tree to see Jesus. Did Jesus pay attention to that little man? That little man up there, did Jesus pay attention to him? Everybody else may have ignored that little man. But the scripture says that Jesus looked up
and saw Zacchaeus looking at him. And Jesus, now listen carefully. Do you remember I said we were going to try to look at the least? And do you remember somebody else that I mentioned we were going to try to talk about and look at? Not just the least, but what? The lost. I want you to listen to this now. And you go home and study this in Luke chapter 19. Was Zacchaeus the least man around at that time? Evidently, probably the least man around. Very insignificant, very unimportant. But a man so important that here it is 2,000 years later, and little children know all about this little man, this least man. They know about him, don't they? They know about Zacchaeus. Now listen, in Luke 19, after it talks about him being of the least, I want you to listen to what Jesus says in Luke 19, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, that is, Jesus said to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, Luke 19, verse 9. Luke 19, verse 9, the Scripture says, and Jesus said unto him, that is to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Who was a son of Abraham? Who was? Zacchaeus. Now listen, was he the least? Was he the least? Yes, he was. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. Now, brethren, we're not going to have time to get to the lost. But I want you to know that the lost are just as important as the least. In fact, you're going to find that most of the time, the least are lost. Is that true with Zacchaeus? Was he the least? And was he lost? Was he lost? Let me just tell you this in closing. I don't think that most of Christians even know what lost is talking about. I think most people, when we hear about somebody that's lost, they think about somebody that's going to die and go to hell. And that's not what the Bible is talking about when it talks about the lost. Did you know that? There's never a single time in the Word of God, not one time, that it talks about those that are dying and going to hell as being the lost. That's not what the Bible talks about. Not once. Not a single time. Say it again. The left-handed ones aren't lost. No, they're the smartest that I've heard.
My husband that was left-handed and my son's left-handed.
Yeah.
He got diabetes and heart problems.
Yeah. A lot of people say that left-handed people are lost. A lot of people say a lot of different kinds of people are lost. I'm telling you, brethren, being left-handed or right-handed, being black or white, being rich or poor, being strong or weak, being intelligent or feeble-minded, makes no difference in the sight of God. The least are important to God. I hope that God will help us this morning to know that the least are important to God, and they better start being important to you if you want to have fellowship with God in this world. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.